recordings will be online so that if you miss a week, you'll be able to still catch it on yutorah.org or .com, either of which works. But we're starting with halva, lending, and it's a large topic. We'll be in it for a good long time. It's not like, you know, one week and out type of a thing. And we begin with mitzvahs halva'a ugmilus chasadim. So starting first at the top, and then we're going to work our way into the footnotes. Mitzvahs asei lahalvos la'aniye Yisrael. There is a biblical mitzvah of lending to Jews who are in need. Meaning, understand, there's a mitzvah of lending, which is obviously part of overall chesed, but we're going to talk about that in greater depth, because it's not as simple as that, eh, Abby? The, which hub are you here for? Business ethics? If you want to come over here, please. Yes. So, we'll have to talk more about what this mitzvah is, but it is a mitzvah of lending to needy Jews. Ugdola mitzvah zumi mitzvah hatzdaka. It is a greater mitzvah than giving tzedakah. Ubiyoser imal yedezeh umachzik es halove shalo yismotet. And especially if through this he will strengthen the borrower so that the borrower will not collapse. V'roi v'nachon liyaseid v'chol makom kupas gemilus chasadin ziburit. I'm going to go back and forth between Ashkenaz inspired and drive everybody crazy. But it is appropriate to establish in every location. I'm sorry, the sheets are stapled. You want the sheet, but it's stapled on the wrong side. I gave it to a child of mine to staple, and the child didn't quite realize. So it's stapled on the wrong side. But it is appropriate to establish in every location a community collection for support of others. He means a lending fund. And everybody should separate for this purpose any money that he has that he's able to lend. This is not straight tzedakah. You're not giving it away as a gift. You are lending these funds and you expect to get them back. But nonetheless, it is a mitzvah. So when people talk about, like, the Israel bonds discussion, is this really a mitzvah of tzedakah? Because after all, you're expecting to get repaid. You're even going to get more. You're going to get a dividend. The answer is it's still a mitzvah. 100%. He's defined it right here for you. Lending money is absolutely a mitzvah.
You said dividend, not interest, obviously. But
yeah, it's a dividend. Not if it's a dividend. Remember the big difference. If it was interest, then it would be guaranteed to you. They would have an obligation to pay you back. If it's a dividend, it means if they succeed in their business, then they pay you. In the event that they don't succeed in their business, they don't owe you anything. That's a longer discussion. We're not going to get to a ribbis discussion here for a very, very long time. There's so much that you have to do first before you get to discussing interest. Take a look now in the footnotes, please. Yeah.
Just when you translate Mitzvah Hasadim, those were in Israel, you used to translate those were in need. But
I said Jews who are in need.
Right. No, you said Jews who are in need. But an ani is like an identity of a person. Someone who's in need, they would say zakuk or something. Like,
an ani by definition is a pauper. Right? It's a needy person.
Right.
What's the difference between a needy person and a person who is in need?
Because a person who is needy, a person may at times be in need and at times not be in need, whereas a needy person is. It's a question of a state of being
So we will get to that discussion in the very next Seif. If you want to take a look at Bayes very quickly, we'll just take a look at it since you raised it. Also to a wealthy person who needs the loan temporarily, there's a mitzvah to lend. But priority would go to the person who really is a needy person, as opposed to the wealthy person who at the moment is suffering from a cash flow issue. And he'll discuss that more when we get to that. But the first stop on this tour has to be the discussion of what mitzvah we are fulfilling when we lend. So, footnote Aleph. He refers you to the Shulchan Aruch, Simon Tzadi Zayin Seif Aleph, when he says that without giving you any differentiation, he means Choshen Mishpat, specifically. So I brought that for you on your sheet in source Aleph. Mitzvahs Aseh Lahavos Laniya Yisrael. It should look familiar because it's the same language that he brought. Vehi Mitzvah Gedola Yosem Ehasdaka. It is a greater mitzvah than tzedakah, than just giving. Ukrovo Ani Kodam La'aniyim Acherim. The Shulchan Aruch writes, a person's own relative who is a pauper has priority over other paupers, and that's just like for tzedakah, where we say that one's relatives comes first. The pasuk says La'achicha La'aniyecha. So your brother comes before general needy people. And those from one city have precedence over those from other cities. And it means really, if a person is wealthy but he needs to be lended at the moment, he needs someone to loan him money, then there's a mitzvah of giving him a temporary loan. And to benefit him, even through words, and to give him good advice. In other words, don't think because a person normally has assets, you are exempt from helping him. Your obligation is still to help him in his time of need. Whether he's going to have first priority or second is a separate point. Are we clear on this? So go back now into footnote Aleph, please, where he raises a classic question. If this is a mitzvah, why don't I make a bracha? Why isn't a bracha? I'm lending somebody money. V'ein mevarchem al mitzvah zu. He says we don't make a bracha on this mitzvah. K'shem she'ein mevarchem al mitzvah tzedakah u'shar mitzvah shebeit adam l'chavero. Just like you don't make a bracha when you give tzedakah, or on other mitzvahs for that matter, which are between one person and another. U'kamo shekasev v'sefer tzedakah u'mishpat, as is brought in the sefer, which we're not going to see here, tzedakah u'mishpat. And he says va'ayin k'tzos hachoshen simin tzadi zayin sipkan aleph. Was a fascinating discussion on this. U'betabas hachoshen sham on the k'tzos hachoshen and the imrei bina dineg v'yaschov simin aleph. Period.
Where's the source? Where's the biblical source?
For what? So the source that I would give you is when the Torah says, right, no, but he doesn't mention it here. He's happy to say, look in the Shulchan Aruch. And the Shulchan Aruch is happy to say it's a mitzvah. However, if you trace it back, you will find that there is a mitzvah, ha'avet ta'avitenu, right? You shall lend to him, de'machzor ravashir yachzar lo. It's in Parshas Re'eh. Take a look, though, on your separate sheet at source base, because I'm not happy stopping with, so there's no bracha, because it's like other mitzvahs, benenu machaveru. That didn't answer the question of, so why am I not making a bracha? So I bring you one of the earliest sources we have that discusses this topic, and that is a tshuva of the Rashba. Right? The Rashba, Rabbi Shaul Ibn Ateretz, writing in the either end of the 13th or beginning of the 14th century in Spain, he says, Sha'alta, you asked, Lama. Why don't we make a bracha on all mitzvos? Like somebody who lends somebody money. Or someone who loads his animal, so the animal will be able to move along. And similar things. He says, tshuva. Here's the answer. This is a deep question. It is something that the Rishonim, the early ones, all addressed. And they were very confused. Why do we have brachos on some mitzvos and not on all mitzvos? Where do we make a bracha? Where don't we break a bracha? He says, you're disappointed if you're looking for a silver bullet. One explanation that is going to work for all mitzvos that we don't make brachos on. It doesn't work that way. He says, first of all, if a mitzvah does not have a deed associated with it, you don't make a bracha. Kigon, for example, Hashmatas Ksafin, right? When the Shemitah year ends, I am obligated to cancel any debts that people owe me, assuming it's already claimable, assuming they've already defaulted, then I have to simply stop claiming the debt. There's no action involved. Tearing it is a nice thing to do, but you have no obligation. It doesn't matter. You couldn't use the shtar anyway because the date on it is old. The date is before Shemitah. So therefore, if you walked into a Beis consistent with it, they would say, "What is this?" So, so there is no deed, therefore there is no bracha. That's one rule. Why? There's a deed. You're saying hallel. Deed doesn't have to mean physical action. That's correct. Speech is good enough for us. It is interesting to realize that we have a separate point that we make about where there are deeds and where there are not deeds regarding lavshein b'maisa. If a person violates a biblical prohibition, but there's no deed involved in the violation, then there are no lashes for the violation. That's called lavshein b'maisa. So when it comes to lavshein b'maisa, we have a very strict definition that we try to apply of what is a deed and what is not a deed. And speech sort of straddles the line, where speech sometimes is a deed if it has an impact, like in testimony cases, speech which does not have an impact. The speech is kind of funny, but I'll say that it is considered a deed for this purpose. But that's one criterion. Number two, v'chein ein mevarchen al mitzvah she'ena tzluya kula biyad ha'oseh. You don't make a bracha on a mitzvah if it is not entirely dependent upon the doer. And that will apply in the loan case. Meaning, if I want to offer somebody a loan, and he says no, then my bracha is a bracha levatala. Right? It's a bracha in vain. I tried to extend him money. He said no. Mitzvah's over. You didn't do it. You tried. You get reward for trying. But you didn't do the mitzvah. It could be that the other person won't want it. He will not be appeased when you offer this to him. And then the deed is nothing. Because we do our brachas before we do a mitzvah.
I know, but there are cases like that.
Okay, there are. I mean, that's a unique case. Tefillas Yadayim is the exception to the rule. You know, Tefillas Yadayim potentially tevila and mikvah maybe, you know, for the same reason, you know, because of inability to do it beforehand. But look at how he continues, because we have another explanation. In any case, we don't need that one alone. But that's what he suggests here. Kigon, for example, matnos aniim, right, giving tithes to the needy, like maaser ani, valvas hadalim, lending money to the needy, unasinas tzedaka, giving tzedaka, vahaanaka, when you free an eved, so you have to give the eved gifts when he goes free. So again, he could choose not to accept it. Okay, I would say we're in similar things. So that's the second criterion. Third criterion. V'chein al davar shu masur lebeisdin. And so too for something that is up to beisdin to deal with. Kigon, for example, asiyas hadinim, the carrying out justice. Shemelo yikablu balei din es daita. Maybe the litigants won't accept the verdict. So therefore, there's no bracha on delivering a ruling. V'chein kol mitzvah shi ba mitel chavera. Here's another one. Another criterion. If the mitzvah is the result of an avera, kigon hashavas hagzela, let's say returning a stolen object, right? If I steal from you, and now I'm going to make a bracha on the mitzvah of return stolen objects, there's an element of chutzpah, right? I'm making a bracha on the fact that I stole. That's not good. V'chazaras haribis. Or, if I lent someone money, and I charged him interest for it, and he gave me the interest, and now I'm going to fulfill the mitzvah of giving back the interest. No bracha. Shalot sivanu ligzol kedei lahashiv. God did not instruct us to steal in order to return stolen objects. V'lika chasaim. Or to take the mother bird with the young, kedei shenachzor v'nishlach osa, so that we can then go send her away. V'akayotze bo'elu, and on similar things. Yes, Barry. Well, the sending away the mother bird is what you're thinking of, I think, is a separate discussion. Just doing shluach hakan, I don't want the eggs. However, this is my chance to fulfill shluach hakan. Somebody spotted a pigeon somewhere. So that's actually a discussion of, are you supposed to do that? It's a very interesting debate. If you take it without wanting the eggs?
Without wanting the eggs.
Right. So it seems like you are Yotze. The question is this a good thing to do? Yeah. And so too, the gifts that you give to the Kohanim, Ein Mevarchan on the Sinah Son, you don't make a bracha there. Why? For a completely different reason. De'ein HaYisrael, no sein Mishalo. There, you're not giving your own property. Elasha, Hashem Yisbarach, Zika Osan LaKohen. Hashem has given them really to the Kohen. The Kohen owns your Truma already. Umishulchan Gavoa Kazachu, they're requiring it from Hashem's table. Unisinas Shekel Bashana Kayotebo, or giving a shekel every year. That's the minimum for your tzedakah. So giving a shekel to a needy person, he says also you wouldn't make a bracha. Why? Because it's not yours. Uchadichziv, like the Pasuk Divrei Hayamim says, Ki mimcha kol, Hashem, it's all from you. Umiyadcha nasanu lach, we are giving you from your own. It's really yours. I think he's talking about the minimum tzedakah that one would give. I don't think he's talking about machzis a shekel, because he doesn't say half a shekel, he says shekel. Aval, however, al pidyon haben, v'al hafrashas chala, separating chala, umaisros, and separating the maiser from your produce, not giving it, but separating it, mevarech, you do make a bracha, mipnei she'ena mevarech al anesina, because that's not about the giving, ela al hafrasha, it's on separating the produce, the tithe. V'al hapidyo, nishatzluyin bo, or the redemption, which is dependent on that, on him to do. So that's another criteria. He's given us five so far. Okay, the first one was, if there's no deed, there's no bracha. The second one was, if it's not dependent on you, the fulfillment is not dependent on you, you need somebody else to make the mitzvah happen. Or if it's something that is, well, actually, no, I'm sorry, that's not a separate one. I was going to say the basin one, but it's really not separate. A mitzvah that is a result of an avera doesn't get a bracha. And a mitzvah where you are giving someone something, but it's not really yours in the first place. That's the fourth one. Now we have the fifth. Ve'ein mevarchan al mitzvah, she'ikara ein a mitzvah. You also don't make a brach on a mitzvah if it's not really a mitzvah. Kigon, for example, chalitza, ve'yibu, she'ikar mishum piriya verivya, ve'hi ein a mitzvah al piriya verivya. He says chalitza and yibun, right? The goal fundamentally is that she should be able to produce a child. She did not produce a child with the husband who passed away. We want there to be a child who's going to be on the name of the deceased brother. But she has no mitzvah of peruvu. She has no commandment to actually do that. So there's no bracha for her to make on doing yibum or on doing chalitza. Neither case is a mitzvah for her. No, but that's also, there are other reasons why peruvu is in a very odd category in that regard. It's not even clear when a person fulfills peruvu. The case, Rachmana Litzlan, where a person has children, but the children predecease that person, so he has not fulfilled peruvu. He tried, he did his best, but a person has to pass on and leave behind children in order for it to be to fulfill the mitzvah. There's a whole discussion in the Minchas Chinuch on this point.
If someone has a kid and the kid dies, you can't.
Then a person has fulfilled peruvu. Yes, it's a whole discussion. V'chein ala gerushin. He says divorce too is not going to get a bracha. Mishum deyesh mitzas hagerushin shein ba'avera. Because sometimes gerushin, divorce, is a result of an avera. Kigon shlo matza ba'devar avera u'megarsha shashan shasanwe hamishalayach. For example, if a man says he wants to divorce his wife where she's done nothing wrong, he just decided he wants to divorce his wife. So he is considered hated. It's an avera for him to actually do this. So he should make a bracha now on doing that. Granted that sometimes divorce may be a mitzvah. Let's say a Kohen marries a divorcee. So he shouldn't have done that. So you'll say for him to get divorced is now a mitzvah. The Rabbanim were not going to create a bracha that you'll say sometimes and not other times. Divorce is traumatic enough. Now in front of the Beis Din, they're going to have a discussion about whether to make a bracha or not.
Well, I don't know. Was there enough Abraham involved? Hey, we don't need that interrogation. Right. Look, look. We don't distinguish. V'chein, and now he adds you a sixth category, a sixth reason why not to make a bracha. V'chein ein mevarchin al misos beisdin. You don't make a bracha on execution. L'fisha Hashem yisvaracha sabriyosa. V'einu chafetz b'misa san shal rishayim. Hashem has mercy on his creations. He doesn't want them to die. L'fichach ein mevarchin alayin. So there's no bracha. U'kinyin sh'amru shein omrim hala b'Rosh Hashanah v'deshu yom adin. Just like not saying hala on Rosh Hashanah because it's a day of judgment. There are times when that's not the right mood. Saying a bracha on execution is the wrong message. We don't do that. U'kida amrinan, and like we said regarding the tochacha, be'ein mafsikin b'klalos, l'fishen omen bracha ala paranus. When we read the tochacha from the Torah, we don't make a hosafa in the middle of the tochacha, because you don't want someone to make a bracha on punishment. V'chein al bikur cholim, and so too when you visit the sick, and you examine their needs. You don't make a bracha on bikur cholim, because bikur cholim is fundamentally about this person being sick. How can you make a bracha? Oh, I'm so glad there's somebody who's ill, so I can now fulfill the mitzvah of taking care of him. Doctor. V'tanchumei aveilim, or comforting a mourner. God forbid someone's going to make a bracha on nichum aveilim. V'ava shalom beit anam achavero, or mending a rift between people. Mipnei shein tluyos biyad achirim. He adds there also, they're dependent on other people. V'dilma lo mekabli minei. U'biyadam lakori menu mitzvazu. Maybe they won't accept him, and therefore, they can uproot the mitzvah. That's a separate point. Aside from the suffering issue, but some mentioned this for the lending one as well. There's no bracha because someone else is in need. You're going to make a bracha over the fact that someone else is in need. That's also inappropriate. The Rashba has more, but this covers the part that relates to the lending bracha. And I'm going to try in general through this chabura to do some of the footnotes, but not to do everything because you can't do everything, or we'll never get anywhere at all. But when I see a source like this, it's something that people should be familiar with, this discussion, and it'll give you something nice to use as a divertor for your Shabbos table, perhaps. It's a useful tshuva to be aware of.
So I can be thankful to Hashem because I am in a position to give money.
Right. So brachas, that's interesting. So when would you make that bracha? In other words, you're not framing it as a mitzvah, as a berachas hamitzvah. It's not a bracha on the mitzvah, it's a berachas hahodah. So then I should thank God when I get the money. Not when I actually give it.
I get the money, maybe. Now I realize I get
something. No, because there is such a bracha. When a person has a windfall, they're supposed to make a bracha, baruch hatov v'hameitiv. And it's specifically done to thank Hashem. The framing of it is hatov v'hameitiv, because I received good that will now also benefit others. So there is such an idea. So you're right on the money, so to speak. Right. Okay. Going back into the Pesach Hoshen now. We're on the third line in the footnotes, the middle of the line. We said there's a mitzvah of lending. The third line in the footnotes, in the middle of the line, Vehanimna. It's on the front page. Vehanimna mila halvos. Someone who declines to lend over b'shnei lavin violates two separate prohibitions. He does not tell you what they are right here, but one of them is lo sikpotes yadcha, right? Don't hold your hand in. Lo sametes levavcha v'lo sikpotes yadcha. Don't harden your heart and don't hold your hand in. I believe those are the los assays he's referring to. You bet. V'ayin, and he tells you to look in the Avas, B'Avas Chesed, which I believe is the Chavis Chaim's work. B'Psicha, the introduction, U'B'Nesiva Chesed Sham, Sha'filu Nimna Shalom Achmas Shmita Over. Technically, the Psukim I just quoted for you talk about a person who refuses to lend because Shmita is coming. And he says, well, I don't want to lend and then not be able to claim it back. But he says, the Chavis Chaim writes, those Psukim apply even if the refusal to lend has nothing to do with Shmita. Doesn't make a difference. Baby, they are so we show him in Hanimna Milahabas La usher over, there is discussion, though, he says, as to whether one is in violation if he refuses to lend to a wealthy person, because in the pasuk there it specifies a needy person. So that's worth looking at, but again, we can't see everything that he refers to. I don't know who he's quoting here, on the Sefer HaMitzvos of Sajigon, and look at the Tshuvas of the Chatan Sofer, Simen Sadi Beis, regarding Shekofen HaMitzvos Milos Chasadim Kwa HaMitzvos Tzedakah, that just like Beis Din is able to coerce people to give tzedakah, they're also able to coerce people to lend money. Vinira, by the big word Vinira, he has a very interesting question here. Vinira Shebehalva Beheter Iska. When you see Beis Hei Taf Ayin, that's Beheter Iska. You're going to see that quite a bit. Heter Iska is the document, it's a term we use for the document which converts a loan into an investment so that you can lend somebody and receive back more than you lent by calling it an investment and making it a dividend, which, as I said in the beginning, you can then lose. In the event that the person doesn't make money, you could actually lose not only the dividend, you can lose your loan. If I'm investing with somebody instead of lending him money, he puts the money into whatever his venture is. If he goes belly up, then I am out my loan. That's just the way it goes, because it was an investment, and that's what happens to investments. So so he says here, if someone extends a loan with a heter iska, so that now it's an investment rather than a loan.
Can be a heter iska with the guaranteed principal back?
So there may be variations on heter iska. I'm not expert enough to say. The key is that you have to be karov lehefsek. There has to be a real possibility that he could lose on this. Otherwise, it becomes a loan. Well, those have been prosecuted. In other words, there have been cases. There are cases on the books in which an Israeli bank did a loan with a heter iska, and then the person went bankrupt and said, "Well, I don't have to pay you." And the court, the bank wanted to claim it in court. This has been worked through. Yeah. Don't be so sure. So he says, "Vinira shabahalva beheter iska ein mishu mitzvas gemilas chasadim." But he says, if you do this with a heter iska, so that you are making back more than you provided him, then guess what? That's not chesed. So maybe I have to revisit my comment about the bonds now. V'chein mashma b'avas chesed, and so it seems in the work of Avas Chesed of the Chafetz Chaim, Chelik Beis Perek Tesvav. See, he says the discussion I'm going to have later. V'shram b'perek chav Beis b'haga. In a note on Perek Chav Beis in Avas Chesed, Kasav he wrote, "Sha'av apisha mitzvas gamilus chasad emudavka b'chinam." That even though the mitzvah of helping others is specifically where you're not paid, kishayesh baze inyam achziko shalo yismotate yesh. He says, if the purpose of the loan is to keep someone from going under, from collapsing, then even if it's done with a heter iska, you are still doing a mitzvah. Because fundamentally, you are providing for the person's needs. Is what? What?
There is a specific definition
of? Oh, leave him a tate.
To go bankrupt in a real sense, or just to not move like that?
No, I think suffering a great loss to me. I don't think it's a technical term. The problem is that sometimes, since you're doing this as an investment and getting interest on what you lent, the result can be that the borrower doesn't make any money, makes a little bit of money, or actually loses in the end. Okay, therefore, me'anachon me'od, it is quite appropriate. Shemi sherot to the kayim mitzvahs ve'chzakta bo, if you want to fulfill the mitzvah of, help him out, and there you go with a pasuk now attached to the mitzvah. Kedin, if you want to fulfill this mitzvah properly, yisbonein be'esek, v'liro shalo yitol revach yosem me'alove, you should examine the investment and make sure that the terms are not going to give you more profit than they give the borrower. V'gam yiyek havanasa l'tzarech alove shalo yipol, and your intent should be to help this person to keep him from falling. Ugra Karkasati Besefer Bris Yehuda Perak Mem Shimrotza Lishmor al Erech Kaspo Mutav Lahabos Beheter Iska Me'er Sher Shalol Lahabos Klal. He says, I have already written that if a person says, well, you know what, I don't want to lose my money, so I have two choices: don't lend or lend with a Heter Iska. So he says, lend with a Heter Iska. V'dine Halva Beheter Iska Rabim Heim. He says, there are an awful lot of laws about Heter Iska. Muvuar and Bezos Hashem Besefer Bris Yehuda. Go look at my book Bris Yehuda, where I've discussed them. Okay. New point. Kasam be'avas chesed. The avas chesed of the Chafetz Chaim. Dinei alva her beisiv dalet. Yeah. Correct. Right. Well, we're not done yet. We've got a ways to go in Aleph. But he has given us so far the following. Number one, he discussed whether you make a bracha on the mitzvah. Number two, he discussed the flip side of the mitzvah for someone who refuses to lend. Right, that was his second point. His third point was, if I lend with a heter iska, is there a mitzvah? And he says it's definitely better than not lending at all. And if you do it in such a way that the borrower profits more than you do, and you do it with the intent of helping somebody not collapse, then that's a mitzvah too. That's his third point. Yeah.
This is bigger than tzedakah. How come the builders should have all sorts of tzedakah and organizations and the gabayim, and there is no gabay for alvaot?
To which I will tell you two things. Number one, 100 years ago, every community in North America had a free loan society. The Hebrew free loan, or whatever they called it. I'm familiar with several of them from old communities in the U.S. I'm sure it was true in, you know. But I'm going to get to the second. But the second point is how much, you know very well, right? As a gabbai who is in charge of it, how much does your average shul give to the average person who comes collecting, or the average needy person when they come to the chesed fund?
Much bigger.
But how much do they give the average person? They'll give thousands?
Yep.
Okay, those are huge funds that I'm not familiar with. And the familiarity that I have is from smaller funds, which will help somebody out, but even the biggest help they're going to give will be a rent check for a month. Will be, you know, they can't do that on an ongoing basis. I understand. When you're dealing with loans, the amounts that people need tend to be much larger. And the problem is maintaining a fund like that is a very, very expensive proposition.
That's a good one.
Yeah. So they should have them. We've seen that explicitly here. But it's a very hard thing to support. People are you know, whether our economy has changed in terms of how much capital people actually have on hand, and that may be part of the issue, or whether there's a change in our mentality. 100 years ago, immigrant societies, you know, did this. They had free loan societies.
Banks were that was the bank.
That's an interesting idea. Yeah.
You see a proliferation of away from the private. We've lost the private. We've lost so much. Look, we're sitting around here.
Right.
We're sitting here instead of sitting with our family.
That's some big balance. Right.
That's an interesting possibility.
To give us a chance, the smaller guys, right? To this mitzvah.
Right.
Put their $100 in there and they did the mitzvah.
It's not about stuck up. This is about lending money.
That's right. Saying. So they should make a gemach for lending money.
Right. No, it would be fantastic. I think it should exist. But it's, like I said, it's a hard thing to maintain. And once one person has taken out a loan, you know, because he needs capital to start his business, you know, you may wipe out your gemach. And I have some experience with this, you know, in terms of running these. It's harder to maintain it, and it's also much harder to run it because your criteria for extending a loan are different from your criteria for giving a gift. You have to now worry, am I being responsible with the funds? Is this person really going to pay back? And all the other questions that come into play. Let's do a little further here. I wanted to go at least a little further. 8:45.
That seems like a much more, which is more important, criteria B, the criteria A.
He's going there. He's going there. You got it. Hey, this is a very practical work. He deals with a lot. Let's just do a few more lines here. Kasa Babas Chesed Dine Alva Perk Beisiv Dalit. Misha Osek Batorah Ubali Yado Mitzvah Alva. You're learning Torah, and then you get the opportunity to lend money. And it can't be done by anyone else. Parentheses, Bein Shanim Yacholim, Bein Shanim Rotsim, they don't have the ability, you're the Gvir, you have the money, or they just don't, there aren't generous people around. Sarach Levat, Lamilimudo, Lakayim HaMitzvah, so stop learning and go lend the money. Commotion is Bar, Besif Yerudeyah, Simen Reish Melvav, Sif Yerudeyah, as is seen in the Shulchan Aruch, I brought it for you as source Gimel on your sheet. Legabe Yasiyah Shar, Mitzvos, Vitalmut Torah, as far as other Mitzvos and Talmud Torah, where the Shulchan Aruch writes in the same breath, in source Gimel on your sheet, Talmud Torah shakul keneged kol haMitzvos. Torah is equal to all other Mitzvos. But ha'yalafan of asiyas mitzvah, the Talmud Torah, im evshel mitzvah layasas ayde acherim lo yafsik talmudo, vim lav yasa mitzvah yasur l'Torah. So the Shulchan Aruch says, if someone else can do the mitzvah and it'll get done, great. But if you're the only one who can do it, then you go do the mitzvah and then you go back to your learning. So he says lending is in that. The din osik the mitzvah potter min mitzvah. And if you're worried about the question of, well, someone who is involved in a mitzvah is exempt from other mitzvahs that come up, he says, look in the Shulchan Aruch, he discusses that. He says, I'm not getting involved in an osik the mitzvah potter min mitzvah discussion at this point. So we're going to stop with that for now. God willing, next week we're going to start at 8. This week there was a lot of confusion about it. But the other point is, next week we're on Wednesday. We're moving this shiur to Wednesday nights. We didn't realize when we set this up.